Welcome to Radio Economica this Thursday morning. We are very happy to have Jorge Valero with us. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Welcome to Radio Economica. We have the pleasure of listening to your presentation of FIRE, which is very symbolic of all the changes that the EU is now considering. And this has to do with the review of state aid rules as launched really late in 2019, when Mrs. Vestager announced that she was considering a review of these rules due to a number of challenges and a little bit of a debate at EU level, including with some member states. But of course, you know more.
Yeah, well, first of all, I hope that everybody is well and healthy, whatever they are following this special edition of Radio Economica, given the circumstances. And yes, indeed, before this whole coronavirus crisis started, one of the big priorities for the European Commission was the review of the competition rules, which in fact include both state aid support and also the mergers and acquisitions. I mean, the antitrust rules and all that part of the competition world as well. And here, I mean, the overarching goal is to equip Europe with more, let's say, update rules in order to compete better with the US and China. Because, I mean, the feeling shared by many member states is that there is not a level playing field between the European companies and the third country rivals, not only because of the, let's say, the lack of investment or innovation and other issues, but also because of the regulation. Because the state aid rules and antitrust rules in Europe are very strict. So here there was the Alstom Siemens decision of the Commission to ban that merger, which set a precedent, and it was not very well received by Berlin and Paris, and that was a bit of a, I mean, of a big, let's say, a setback for France and Germany. So now what we have seen is that the Commission is not planning to make a big turnaround and big change of the competition rules, but is ready to review the regulation and this set of rules in different domains in order to better support precisely its priorities. When it comes to Green Deal, the digital package, and also when it comes to getting out of the current crisis, so we can start by recalling that one of the first lines of actions that the Commission wants to pursue is the review of the definition of market relevance, and this is important when it comes to decide whether in a certain market there is a level playing field or there is a company that it's basically abusing its dominant position, and here. What we have seen is that given that the digital ecosystem, the digital world has rewrite somehow the definition of market relevance, the Commission is ready to adapt it for the, especially taking into account the digital ecosystem, the digital world. But Vestager already warned that she's not ready to totally review, let's say, what a relevant market is for example, more traditional sectors.
Can I ask, just taking a small step backwards, you referred to these Chinese companies that are not on a level playing field with European companies. So this definition of market relevance on the occasion of new ambitions on the issue of a digital economy means that the parameter to be applied in the complex operations and decisions that are made on the issue of allowing state aids or mergers is changing or sort of merging with an approach to the global environment and perhaps trade policy. Am I right?
Exactly. I mean, because taking a step back, indeed, we need to see that competition, I mean, we cannot consider competition in the vacuum. Competition policy is very much interlinked, as we are underlying, with industrial policy and with innovation and with trade. I mean, these four, let's say, themes and priorities are very much interlinked, especially, I mean, more and more in the years to come. So precisely, I mean, what France and Germany, who are the big, let's say, champions of the review of the competition rules, are saying is that maybe in order to be competitive abroad, and here we will have the external dimension and the trade dimension, we need to maybe squeeze competition inside. So maybe, I mean, favoring less European consumers. In order to make European companies stronger outside. But the Commission disagrees. I mean, the Commission says that precisely the internal market is what allows these European companies to grow internally and then be more competitive outside. So there is here a bit of a tension between consumer protection or supporting the companies. And the Commission says that, I mean, both things is not either or, but precisely the internal market is the secret ingredient that allows these middle-sized companies in Europe to grow and compete outside.
Now, can I
ask question? The market relevance is important because, of course, as I was saying, in this digital context, maybe the definition of market is no longer only, let's say, limit to euro, but European companies competing with US firms and internet or e-commerce, or other dimension of with Chinese ones. But referring to what you were saying about the state data, possibly, I mean, the possible, I mean, unfair support that many of foreign companies receive by, for example, Chinese government supporting Chinese firms that after come to Europe in order to invest or even to be part of public tenders. There is another second line of action that the Commission is planning to take, and this is precisely what I was going to mention in a few moments. And this is precisely like a new pillar to add to the competition rules. To ensure that those companies, third country companies that are accessing the internal market and competing, don't bring, let's say, unfair support vis-a-vis the European companies. I mean, this let's say, proposal is still under consideration, and the Commission is see what tools they could. Implement in order to ensure that there is a level playing field indeed. I mean, for example, accessing their books, their finance, to see whether there is a massive public support by third states on unfair conditions, for example, in terms of export subsidies or so on and so forth.
Now, can we say that this, well, so-called, I mean, that's to be investigated, of course, unfair competition from external companies, I mean, non-EU companies, are also fostering financial instability. I've been reading about the way in which the Chinese government, the Chinese regions, and Chinese banks in particular are behaving aggressively. I mean, they have a strategic vision for their own economy, and they are also highly indebted, apparently, one of a cause possibly of a global instability from a financial point of view would be that Chinese banks are very, very strongly indebted, which means that they are borrowing money, and then of course buying in Europe in particular, taking over companies in Europe, but that's on credit and at unprecedented levels, as far as I understand, something like above 300% GDP would be the Chinese debt, of course, to be refined because it could be as well internal. But we have a source of a potential source of major financial instability, as far as I understand. Do you know more about this, or have you heard about this? Is this confirmed?
Well, I mean, we're going a bit beyond the topic of the day, because indeed, if we start talking about the Chinese debt, it's a massive concern indeed. I mean, the Chinese has a huge pile of debt, and not only that, the problem is that the state is subsidizing so-called zombie companies. I mean, these are non-productive companies or no solvent companies that otherwise will collapse. And just because of, political reasons or societal reasons, the state keeps subsidizing and keeping them in life support artificially. So this keeps ballooning the public debt, the public debt and the overall debt of the Chinese economy. And this might represent, of course, might bring financial instability. But first, I mean, not only to Europe, but it's to the global economy, given the weight of the Chinese economy in the world today, which I think it's around 60% or 50% of the economy nowadays. But another thing that related to what you said, and maybe more relevant to what we're discussing today, is the impact on the single market. Because of course, I mean, the competition rules is what they aim is to ensure that there is a level playing field in the single market, so the single market can continue functioning, and all the companies have a fair shot if they have good products, if they have good prices, and they satisfy customers. But if you have an external, let's say, player that comes with not only with an artificial amount of money, but also breaking those rules, you will distort and destroy, and might put in jeopardy the functioning of the single market. So that's why, I mean, the Commission is developing this set of tools and updating the existing tools in order to, let's say, following what was already done on competition to strengthen that line of action, not to, let's say, rewrite the rules, but to strengthen that line of action. So we already mentioned the market relevance. We already mentioned this new, attempt to also look into those companies that come from outside. And then more, maybe more related to the Green Deal, which is now the big priority, of course, in terms of policy and politics in Europe. Here, actually, there is a lot under this. And you made reference before to Vestager's announcement in late last year, when she actually said that, in fact, that they are reviewing the stated rules in order to facilitate the public support, for example, for some energy and environmental projects, and also to facilitate subsidies for some regions that might need it. Of course, I mean, this will be well targeted, and there are specific, areas that the Commission will address. For example, it will be a public aid for research and development. It will be also, for example, supporting risk finance for growing some certain businesses that might help to mitigate climate change. And it's also what is called the important projects for common European interest. And we will talk maybe more about this later on. And this is basically developing very innovative cutting edge projects, but which are for several reasons, for example, because of the high risk profile, they are underinvested by the public sector, by the private sector, sorry. So that's where the Commission allows public support by several member states under certain conditions. For example, that they will share the know-how and the patents with other companies. And this is something, I mean, the goal is very much aligned with what we have mentioned already, which is developing the Airbus of the future, let's say very innovative companies for the future. I mentioned in Airbus because it's always mentioned as an example of European cooperation in a very, let's say, strategic sector. So what the Commission says that is that instead of squeezing competition by allowing mergers of big giants, what you have to do is to develop an ecosystem of companies, universities, states in a new field and in a strategic field, and then by innovating, let them grow and become, let's say, a dominant, not dominant, but maybe a reference in that field in order to compete with US companies and with Chinese companies, for example, as Airbus did decades ago with Boeing, when Boeing was dominating, of course, airplane manufacturing field. And now, for example, with these important projects of common European interest, the Commission is also pursuing in the field of the batteries or the microchips, the nanoprocessors, because these are key projects for the European future, for the European industry. And one of the last decisions that was approved by the Commission referring to these projects of common interest was an initiative funded by seven member states to support batteries. And they allow, the Commission allow for an investment of 3.2 billion euros to develop these batteries. And after, as I said, one of the conditions is that they have to share this knowledge and this know-how with other companies. And here, what the Commission, as I was saying, Vestager, is ready to facilitate, to ease the conditions to apply for these common interest projects. I mean, to make it more accessible to access these, let's say, loose conditions of state aid. Because there was, again, France and Germany complaining that the requirements in order to access this scheme is very strict. So they wanted to make it more effective. And the goal was to come up with, let's say, an amendment by the end of this year. But of course, what happened is that the whole coronavirus crisis affected all the timeline of decisions and proposals. And we will talk, for sure, we will talk about that maybe in the final minutes of the program. But before that, We spoke about the Green Deal, the big priority, and there is another big priority, of course, which is the digital sector. And here we can also expect a lot in the field of competition. First of all, because it's not only, I mean, one of the, let's say, overarching goals of lines of action for the Commission, but also because the commissioner in charge, it's a Frenchman, Thierry Breton, and he was the CEO of a digital company. So you can say a digital firm, Atos, which is very big in big data and in data handling. So for Breton, the future of the European economy very much relies on managing their own data. And that's why there was a very interesting small paragraph included in the first bunch of big initiatives that he put forward last month. The Commission put forward a data strategy, artificial intelligence strategy, an industrial strategy, and also and in that one of these documents, in the data strategy, there was a small paragraph where basically he hinted at the possibility of putting forward legislation to address, to make, to force companies to facilitate access to their data. And this is very relevant if we think about companies like Google, like Facebook, like Amazon, because of course they have that market power, they have that influence, and this the possibility to set the game in so many sectors because of the data and they gather in different fields. And because of that, there is a snowball effect that when you become dominant in one field, it's easier to become dominant in another field in the digital ecosystem. So what the Breton included in one paragraph in this data strategy was that in areas where there has been a market failure, access to data should be made compulsory. Which is, I mean, this is something that it could have very, very big effect. It could be an earthquake, in fact. But he, of course, he said that, I mean, access has to be made under fair, transparent, reasonable, and proportionate, and non-discriminatory conditions. And the reasoning of the Commission is what precisely what we were talking about, that why is relevant and why this has to be made is because when there could be a high degree of market power resulting from this data advantage that some companies have by let's say protecting all this data that they gather, because of that they can dominate certain platforms and at the same time unilaterally impose conditions on other players and the smaller companies that are maybe active in that ecosystem. So yes, as we said, I mean, we still don't know how this will develop because the Commission was initially planning to put forward a digital act initiative by the end of this year, but most likely it's going to be postponed to next year under the new work program that the Commission will release in late April, but yes, we can expect again some actions in the digital part of the competition world. We can expect also a lot on the green part, and we can expect something else also on the definition of market relevance, even though this will take a bit more time. So yes, to sum up, a lot of initiatives in the making in the competition. And before maybe concluding, we can talk about the actions that has been adopted also in the face of the corona crisis in the world of state rules and competition rules, because of course as we were saying at the beginning of our conversation, for some companies in Europe, even member states, the state aid rules, of course, are unhelpful because they help to protect this level playing field in the internal market. But at the same time, sometimes they are seen as a straitjacket, especially when there is a crisis. So what the Commission did at the very early stages of this pandemic was to ease the state aid rules by adopting a temporary framework. And this temporary framework, what it did was to help to fast track the approval of decisions to support companies, to support workers, to support some sectors. So the Commission adopted that in a matter of, I think it was 3-4 days. When, for example, the last time and the only time that this temporary framework was adopted during the past crisis in 2008, the approval of this scheme took 3 weeks. So we have seen here a more of a learning curve because of course it's critical to approve all this set of aid schemes and support public support very fast, because otherwise companies won't have access to that liquidity or to that money, especially in the current scenario of a total shutdown of the economy. So that was one element of the temporary, framework adopted. And the other one, more recent one, which is under actually still in the final process of approval, is another set of rules, or let's say update rules, to facilitate the public support for non-financial companies. And here basically it's the famous nationalization or partial nationalization of companies, the injection of public funds in private, in the private sector, in firms, because of the pandemic. And here the Commission has said that the entrance of equity of public funds in the private sector has to be a very last resort, and it has to be made following certain conditions. For example, there has to be, the money injected has to be only to cover the losses caused by the pandemic. There has to be a clear exit strategy when it comes to, exiting the public funds. I think it's up to after 6 months the company has to submit a project to recover all those losses and repay the public injection. There has to be also there are limits in terms of what can be done with that money. For example, the money cannot be used, or that company cannot pursue an aggressive strategy of growing because of the public support. And at the same time, for example, the CEOs cannot raise their salaries, or they cannot have, better bonuses.
Okay, I think we have pretty much covered the topics. Of course, the latest initiatives taken by the Commission is this presentation of an industrial strategy, a package to boost industry, SMEs and single market. You entered the sectorial dimension of that. That was adopted on the 11th of March. And of course, in that particular period of the coronavirus, it's as if the European Union is reboosting its reflection on strategic autonomy, short circuits. You agree? Yeah,
no, definitely. It's going to be even more important, the industrial element, because France is a very, vocal here, and they want to relocate a lot of strategic industries in Europe, medicines, manufacturing of medical equipment, and maybe more things that will come up in the future. Here, of course, again, the industrial strategy will be very much interlinked with the competition rules, with the stated rules, because of course there will be a lot of public support in order to build these capacities here in Europe.
Thank you. Bye-bye then.
Bye. Bye.
Okay, I stopped the recording, and I will have to do a little interruption so that my computer can digest the recording.
Okay.
And then I will relaunch the session move on to the latest situation. Okay, so I have to interrupt the meeting for the necessary time that the machine converts the recording.
Okay, so send me an email when it's ready, or when I have to connect again.
Yes, I will.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye.